This is Listening, a music-minded podcast for the Dallas Morning News. I'm your host, Hunter Hawk.
Put God first, put everything second.
That is Dallas rapper Bobby Sessions.
You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. Masterpiece, I need a glass of wine. Is your mind a master or your mastermind? I'm not a slave, never master me. Ain't no living with the limit, master proof. I mastered the P's and Q's ever since I was...
On January 30th at Deep Ellum's reopened venue, RBC, Bobby Sessions will bring his critically acclaimed new album, LOA, to the live stage. On LOA, which is short for Law of Attraction, Sessions walks the lyrical line between social realism and New Age positive thinking. He and his collaborators, who are celebrated Dallas artists in their own right, seamlessly blend components of jazz and live instrumentation with more modern production elements. Put it this way, whether or not the January 30th concert is doable for you, it'd be worthwhile for you to keep listening, especially if hip-hop's in your heart. So, here's a little bit of our recent conversation with the 24-year-old rapper. Oh, and you'll hear plenty of his music, too.
I got full tank in the whip. Start GPS, know exactly where I'm going. Now I'm rolling out and bar to the cliff. Bobby Session, that is sexy. Dad used to push the Lexus. Now my mama just paid out the bench.
So, really nice to have you here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
First of all, let's just start at the beginning. Tell me about where you grew up.
Okay. Well, I'm Bobby Sessions, the legend from Dallas, Texas. Yeah. Let's start there. I'm from Dallas, born and raised. I spent the first half of my life in Pleasant Grove and the second half in Rowlett, Texas, because my parents saw that DISD was crumbling at the time, and my brother has a mental disability, so they wanted to move us to a better school district and a better environment in Rowlett, Texas. As a kid, I was real into sports and just entertainment. I knew entertainment was my thing. And then in seventh grade, I actually won an award for Class Clown. And at that point, I knew I was going to be a professional entertainer. And I feel like, you know, the kids would be more receptive to what the teacher wants to get across if they're in a happier state. So if you're like, yeah, so I want you to turn to a page, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's boring. So I had to make jokes, make fun of the teacher, you know, this mischievous stuff. And then it just, I was entertaining the teacher too. So I ended up getting an award, and I was like, I knew I was good to go.
So it was in a good way. Like, did you kind of start playing around with the wordplay back then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Telling jokes, being funny. That's
freestyling in class, you know, get the two number two pencils beating on the desk. And I would rap about the teacher, make fun of the teacher. The teacher would engage and say something back to me before she told us to get back to work. Just all kind of stuff, man. I just wanted to have fun at all times. I was into school, but only in environments where I knew the teacher was having fun teaching. If they was just like, oh, I just can't wait to get home, I don't want to be here to teach, then I took it upon myself to make the class entertaining. Yeah.
Were your friends like freestyling, getting into making music, or did you not do that until
No, my friends was more, their lives was more centered around sports. Like football was everything, basketball was everything, track was everything. So it was just kind of a thing. We would rap until we had to go to football practice. If we had to wait for something in the locker room, we're going to rap while we're putting on our shoulder pads and stuff like that. So everybody was more sports driven, but outside of school, it was all about freestyling, going to LimeWire, downloading music illegally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the good old days.
Those were the days.
Yeah, the good old days, like a few years ago.
Did you start to see yourself like sort of eclipse the other people who were just doing it for fun? Like, when was that moment for you that you kind of knew, I think I want to do this, you know?
When I knew I wanted to rap professionally was November 16th, 2010.
Got the date.
Exact date, yeah. My rap anniversary and the anniversary of my girlfriend, both the same day, same event.
Convenient.
Yes, absolutely. Both my passions. It was at the University of North Texas. They had this event every Tuesday night called Poetic Justice. And there was a spot in UNT where, right in front of the union at this gazebo, where it had all rappers, singers, poets, instrumentalists. They would all come out to this gazebo and like showcase their talents. At the time, I was more focused on poetry when I got there. I went to UNT. What my major at the time was broadcast journalism. I thought I was going to go to ESPN, be like a Stuart Scott, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Because sports was really my first love before rap was. Okay. And but like I said, I was real heavy into freestyling. So I went up there and did some poetry. And then I heard these guys freestyling. And then immediately, like, the sports competition thing just start going in my head, and I was like, I think I can rap better than these guys. So I go home, I write all the raps I can. The next Tuesday I come out, and then I spit these raps, and everybody goes crazy. One of the people was my girlfriend, and I've been dating her ever since and rapping ever since.
Have a feeling, yeah. Lot of money, pay. Lot of women, lay. Now we'll get it, hey. From the people, lost. Not a dollar, boss. I'm the owner, stop. Get the lawyer, boy. Stop your bitch, get in position. Quit talking about it. Me, walking about it. Whip, kind of clean. Please, walk around it. Keys, let me start it. Me, feel I'm ballin'. Got money, women, cars, helicopter, phone. New play, wrong. Go watch, chain, coming down.
So, your style now is not on every song, but on some of the major songs on the record, it's like so stream of consciousness. You
right.
know, not really, though. I mean, it's structured. There's poetry to it.
Starting off, I was definitely more the influence of the people I looked up to rubbed off on me more then, because due to a lack of development in rap, and I hadn't gotten to the point where I developed my own voice yet or developed my own style yet. So it was all about, I'm trying to sound like Jay-Z. I want to sound like Nas. I want to sound like Eminem. And just due to repetition, a absurd amount of hours into this. They said you need like 10,000 hours to master something. I'm very sure I've put in more than 10,000 hours into this. So then at that point, it became... It went to like a more screaming kind of thing. I used to really scream. And then I had a session with my engineer on the project, LOA, named Donnie Domino. And then my first session, we recorded Peyton Manning, which was the first video we put out. And then he stopped me mid-take because I was just real loud, like, a couple cup that I would. And he's like, hey, like, stop. He's like, rap to me. Stop rapping at me.
Okay.
So then from there, I kind of developed a more talking. I want to talk to you. As if we was on the couch. Got me feeling throw the couple cup that I was drinking. One was paid and one was man. And every time that drink is finished, it just got me feeling throw. Rapping captain, I'm the quarterback. If I give a quarter, get my quarterback. Really, I should be the running back. When I'm done, they just be like running back. I got a ball, I'm the center. Born 13 December. I feel like I'm simple. Though I am.
And I read that really nice Observer piece about you, and they talked about your involvement with the Brain Gang guys.
Right.
And how would you characterize that? Like,
how would I characterize that experience?
Like, did you make a lot of music with them, or were you sort of in a learning place with them? Like,
definitely in a learning place. The Brain Gang experience for me was literally about experience in general.
Sure.
Like, we became white hot at one point around the city due to the mosh pit kind of ruckus style. Like, it was like the introduction of rage, like almost like a punk rock kind of element that we added to hip hop shows with the mosh pits and the jumping and the pushing. But it just got me a lot of experience on stage. We got that wonderful opportunity to perform at the Granada Theater, and it was pretty much packed out for the ADD show. So it's just a good experience, learning how to be an artist on a local scene, how to, you know, perform one night in Dallas and then perform another night and then perform another night in Oklahoma. It was just a good experience that's definitely been very valuable for me right now.
You took a little bit of time after that whole kind of era to work on your own craft.
Right.
What was that time like for you? What were you doing day to day?
Soul searching and working a 9-to-5 that I hated. I had a couple situations with some guys that were trying to sign me that fell through during that time period. So I knew instead of kind of focusing like, man, I can't believe that this fell through, I just focused on what could I do to you know, realize my dream and manifest the ideas that I had in my mind. So it was about a 2-year period since leaving Brain Gang, or was it? No, like a year and a half since parting ways with Brain Gang. And then I knew to take my career to the next level, I had to leave my job. I had to risk everything for it. So I had $50, which seems crazy. Like, how do you leave your job with $50? I was like, well, when I was working a job, after I got my check and paid all my bills, I pretty much had $50 left anyway. So I might as well spend that time doing what I love to do. And then when I made that leap of faith, that's when things started to happen for me. Yeah, it was definitely, it's definitely scary. I mean, because it wasn't the first time I did this. I tried this at 19 and was very unsuccessful. It was like the worst time period of my whole life, the lowest moments of my life, just thinking like, man, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do, this or that? Car running out of gas on the side of the road. And my car ran out of gas like 5 times in 1 month. So I was having all those things play back in my head over and over, like, man, you sure this is what you want to do? And I was like, man, I spent a lot of time researching like the stories of like billionaires, and they had like real similar stories. Even if they came from like privilege, like let's say they have very rich parents, and their parents are like, okay, you're a Johnson, I want you to go be a doctor, I want you to be a lawyer. And they're like, I don't want to be a lawyer, I want to be a sculptor. And then they're like, oh, well, we're going to cut you off completely. So these are people.
Best thing that could ever happen to
these people. Like these people that had a silver spoon, like their whole habits is based on people giving stuff to them. And now they have to learn how to fend for themselves, which is a very tough transition. So when I saw that a lot of the people I admire had to go through that, it was a no-brainer from there. And that kind of calmed my nerves throughout the process.
How old are you now?
24.
Okay. And somewhere along in there came a sort of new interest in, you know, the secret and the laws of attraction kind of idea that you can sort of visualize something.
Yeah.
What about that appealed to you? And did you feel that you were already that kind of a person and it just sort of you folded that into your way? Or was it a whole sea change for you?
It was a complete change for me. Not really a change, more like it gave the secret and the law of attraction gave me new perspective from the same principles that people told us as children. Like they say, there's the golden rule. You treat others how you want to be treated, and you make it real simple. But they're implying with that, at least from my personal perspective, that if you treat someone bad, there's a high chance that that will also happen to you. It might not happen that day, but it will come back to you. It was trying to tell you a lesson about you put what you, what's that saying? You get out what you put in?
Yeah.
One of those.
Get what you give.
Something. Yes, you get what you give. So the law of attraction is pretty much that same principle. If you're walking around with a very negative personality, a very negative attitude, a very negative outlook on life, you have to then attract a lot of negative things to keep happening for you to confirm that you're right.
Yeah.
All the time. So I start looking, I had a new awareness about how I was navigating my day to day. Like, let's say if someone said, hey, Bobby, we could possibly get you on the show, and it was a show that could have brought a lot of attention for me, I was already thinking in my head, well, I'm going to do this just in case I don't get it. Like, I was prepping to not receive something instead of saying, even before the confirmation, okay, matter of fact, I'm going to go rehearse for this show now, even though it's not confirmed. Like, just gave me a new awareness about how I moved around. And when I watched The Secret, that was the same time that I split from Brain Gang. So it was like a real soul searching, find yourself thing. And those principles have been working wonderful.
I want to put up in that Benzo, steady pushing, nervous, walking down the street. Cops are steady looking, everybody getting shot. Yeah, you can watch the foot in kitchen, wrestle with the pot. Smell that the rock is cooking. I'm not talking about my life, but I think you understand. Pay the cost to be the boss, pay the price to be the man. I ask God for some advice, let me tell you what he said. If you see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. God,
when you sort of had that change and then you decide, I'm going to make a record.
Yeah.
Who did you want to bring in first? And what, I mean, since you're a visualizer, right?
Right.
What were you thinking about this record was going to be? Like, what were you picturing? What were you hearing in your mind before you made it?
I knew I wanted a topic first. Topic from Team From Nowhere, based on he had a real like soulful sound production wise, and I knew I wanted the project to be real soulful and musical. My dream for the longest was to create a very musical project, especially one from Dallas. So I ran into Topic, I think June, 2014, and then we started working that same month, and from there just kind of snowballed into this thing. Like, we went from Topic to Blue the Misfit to X, my fellow High Standards label mate, and there I just ended up attracting saxophone players, trumpet players, bass players, jazz flute players, drummers, people that I never met before. I had no relationships with them prior to starting this. Right. It just all kind of started just really being a crazy attraction from there, and then it ended up being this real musical project.
Yeah, and it's striking in that way. I think it's like feels very urgent, especially the drums and the beats and
definitely
everything. It feels like it's not just some sort of mixtape or something that people threw together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this ain't a sloppy Joe.
For sure. Were you making these kinds of different songs and you felt like they were all going together, or did you have to sort of call things down to make it one kind of cohesive thing?
That's a great question. I think around maybe January when I left the job, we had about 6 records. And then I went to South By with both of the people that manage me now, Vince Choppa and Jeremy J. Jones. And I had this light bulb that went off, like, man, I can really cash in on this opportunity if I start putting in some crazy work, a work level that I've never know about before. So after South by Southwest, I just got really hot and I made like 10 songs in like 10 days or something like that. So from there, the concepts were similar, but it wasn't flowing exactly the way I wanted. So I just had a council with a lot of people that I trust, which was Vince Choppa, Zaya, Donnie Domino, Topic, John Stewart, Justice Engineer, Ryan Sherbert, and we all sat down and went through each song, what song needs to be kept, once, which ones we need to save for another album, which ones we need to delete completely. And then just with that trusted counsel, we put the whole thing together. Even my mom and dad helped with that.
Bobby, if I had a Bentley, I would feel better. If I had a gold chain, I would feel shame. Wanna feel suede and some real leather. My granny told me that she never had to ask for a loaf of bread. Old wisdom I would give it started soaking in. Pray to God that I live better. Cause tomorrow only come when my work today is done. Boy, you about to quit your job, do you feel present? I tell them nah for the job cause I feel alive. Got my career living fear and that's how you die. I got a drive, try to scratch and to survive. Scraping up these niggas' dimes, I got enough to get the burger, not enough
but
to get the
what I love drive. About these songs is that it's not forced. It's not like you're trying to like fit these names and these situations into a verse. Especially on Black Neighborhood, I think it's almost like being in the car with you or something. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Was that the feeling you wanted to achieve? Like just kind of overhearing someone's inner thoughts about what this thing looks like? And
yeah, like Black Neighborhood in regards to songs that where it was written for the project is actually the oldest song.
Yeah.
I wrote that song at, I think I was 21 years old. And I had watched the Dave Chappelle Killing Me Softly special. It wasn't the first time I saw the special, but so then when he's doing the skit about the gun store, liquor store, that just put me on like this spiral, like of just seeing all these things like crackheads, smackheads, dead bodies, courtrooms. So since he said gun store, liquor store, I wanted to craft a whole song. And I thought of every little landmark, every kind of business that are in those environments that makes people the way they are, and made sure I put them in a song. But something you said, not make it forced, just really, just recall from memory. I recall people shooting dice, people hopping fences, cops coming up on you, the old car with the new wheels on it, the plastic on the couch, the fish fries, like just really, really take you in the car with me and show you what goes on in this place.
Sort of on the cutting edge of where hip hop is really going right now.
Definitely.
I mean, there's a lot of jazz being brought into it.
Yeah.
And that's happened in past eras and everything else. But for some reason now it feels like it's becoming a lot more organic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you see that as a trend in the Dallas scene, or do you feel like you're kind of going against the grain right now here?
I definitely feel like I'm going against the grain, but I do foresee a lot more artists putting live instrumentation into their music, because I feel like, to be honest, this project set the bar for how musical a project can be without being corny, or without being considered corny in the hip hop community, I would say.
Yeah, it's not a verse and like some featured chorus. Like,
yeah, it's not.
Same
you know,
thing over and over.
You know, it's one of those things where I think Law of Attraction has set the bar for how someone should approach an album, and I expect a lot of people to try to copy that model or use that formula. And I think in regards to hip-hop in general, on a national, international scale, I think with the people like Kendrick and people like J. Cole, people like Bobby Sessions, I think it's going to just bring in a new generation, like the kids that are 16 years old now. I think they're going to be more inspired to have a more live feel because...
Sure, learn an instrument or two.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter how expensive your programs are that has like computerized drums or bass lines and all that. In my opinion, it'll never duplicate just that real authentic bass line, that real drum. It's not the same.
Listening is produced by myself for the Dallas Morning News and GuideLive.com. Keep tabs on Bobby Sessions through Twitter at the handle BobbySessionsTX. Thanks for listening. I can get some inner peace if I can get a piece of you, baby. You remind me of a goddess, Black Pocahontas. Girl, you my rock. We Barack Michelle Obama. Loving you a crime. Guilty what I tell the honor. I can get the dark turning into light. Get some peace from your piece of pie. Got my knife, can I get a slice? Food for thought, feed your appetite.